Father, thank you in Jesus' name that the Spirit of the Lord has come. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that you so fully provide for your people. Lord, thank you, God, the expectation that you have placed in our hearts every time we gather, because you've caused us to know you love us. Lord, you desire us. Lord, you are for us. And Lord, thank you that you cause our hearts to sing the praises of your grace. Lord, the faithfulness of your mercy. That, Lord, truly you cannot deny yourself. You cannot help yourself. You are truly in love with us. Father, thank you for the plan. Thank you for the glory that you have chosen for your Son. Thank you, Lord, that here we are, Lord, that we need you, but you have chosen to fully provide us to bring the full glory home to your Son. Lord, thank you for the riches that you provide for us. We are clothed with all those riches of glory because we've taken the beauty of the mercy vessels that we are. We ask this day, God, come in even the more. Take us on even further. Lord, break up any fallow ground that's still there. Lord, if there's a little bit of stiff neck, let's get it done today. Lord, help us to truly step out in the beauty of your love that you have provided. And God, just lay hold. So freely given is everything of yours. We thank you for it. We praise you. Give us the increase this day. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd open your Bibles today, we're going to 1 Chronicles to begin. And we will start in chapter 28. We find ourselves here, David preparing to go to see the Lord. And God has given him many things throughout his life to rejoice in. Matter of fact, everything. Knowing that the joy of the Lord is his strength. Knowing, praise God, that God has given him a very heart that was after his own. David, during his life, the Lord gave him such desires to just be pleasing to God. Oh, David didn't, in a sense, live a perfect life at all, we know. But yet, he had a heart that wanted to trust God, even in his failure. He was the one that wrote, "Even when I make my bed in hell, thou art there with me." See, that's a praise and a faithfulness of the faith that we have in our God. That we know that he knows the way we take. And he wants us to believe the word of God in every aspect of our life. Not just believe the Lord when we're yielding to God, but really believe the Lord when you're not yielding to God. That's really a very important time. Be quickened of the Lord in his love, that you understand that you can't be separated from the love of Christ. That he's not for you sometimes, he's for you always. And all he wants is that fellowship. He just wants that continual encouragement. And sometimes he knows we must go through a way and a time of failure. And that's okay when our mind is stayed upon him. It's fine when we're still in the word of the Lord. Amen? I'm telling you, you're having a problem. You're in a real deep rut. Get to church. He may not lift you out of that rut, but I'll tell you what, your heart is going to be encouraged. It's going to be readied. It's going to be filled. He's going to provide things that were not going to be able to be provided to you until you hit that, if you will say, that pothole of your life. And you're talking about a pothole where the car disappears, you know. And those are the ones. Look up. Look up. He brought you into that dark mile. Look up. This is the only time you can see that sky like that. Anybody catch the sunrise this morning? Oh, my goodness. Polly looked at me today and she said, "We don't even have a name for a color like that." That's your life. Let him take you there. But David, he wanted to build the tabernacle of the Lord. A wonderful thought. The word of God says it was a good thought. Amen. But even though he had the thought and the desire to do it, it wasn't for him to do. And he took that from the Lord and waited on God. He didn't just go plowing in, doing it on his own. He had that beautiful time with the Lord, but the Lord divinely said, David, this isn't for you. And so we pick it up here in verse 3, and this is what David says. He says, but God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. All right, it wasn't for him to do. Okay. Howbeit, the Lord of Israel chose me. So it's like, well, no, wait a second, I wasn't for that, but he chose me for something else. Isn't that something? He's chosen you. He's chosen you to rule and reign with him. Your occupation, though, till that time, might be something very different than you want. I've had like 3 or 4 of them. I don't know what my next one is. I'm praying that we're done with this today and we're home. But I've had people ask me many times, well, how long do you think you're going to pastor or preach? Today. Tomorrow he'll meet me with what I'm supposed to be doing. And I thank God he's taught me that. Not that I wanted to be taught that, but he's taught me that. From all of the different career changes in my life, what I thought I was set out to do. And I have 2 glorious brothers that I saw set out to do what they were going to do in life, and it was just bam, right from college, and it was exact, and I so admired it. And they had that passion to do what they do, and God has still anointed what they're doing. But he had a different plan for me. And I thank God I have such joy in my heart for my brothers. So proud of them and all the things that they do. And I thank God for the liberty that God gave them to be able to do that. But I thank God for the liberty, truly liberty, to really trust God for my life too. Say, Lord, a lot of times, I don't know what I'm doing. And then being thankful to say, but Lord, you do. But that's all of us, no matter what we're doing. I pray it is. But he said, but God chose me, there in verse 4. And he chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah, isn't that beautiful? To be the ruler and of the house of Judah and the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me. The Lord likes you. Isn't that something? We're saying the Lord loves me. Well, actually, the Lord likes you. He chose you. Yes, because he loved you. But he chose you because he likes you. He likes spending time with you. Even though you're saying, I don't like spending time with me. How could you like me, Lord? Well, he's just the Lord. He made us like that. But he liked me to make me king over all Israel. Think what he liked you to make you king with him for. Kings. Amen. Come on. Ruling and reigning jointly with him. I think he likes you. Okay. Get over it. Just take it. Thank him for it. Remember, this is historical. This is the word of the Lord. This happened. This is real. This is true. You see the divine hand of God in it. But there's depth in this, brothers and sisters, all throughout. The prophets, it says in the word of God, they wrote these things for us. They wrote these things. And see, as the men and women of God went on, they would hear this, they would read these things, and they knew in receiving it, there's still more depth in that. Even Daniel says it, Lord, there's more in here. I'm writing these things, I see it, and there's more. There's a depth. And he said, Daniel, it's not for you. Daniel cried because his heart groaned for even that more. But the Lord said he shut it up. And he says it's not for this age. And here we are. Here we are. And we're assured through Paul's gospel that they wrote those things for who? For us. They wrote those things for us. It says they wanted to look into it. The prophets, the angels, the sons of men. They saw there was more. They knew it. And here we have it. Here we have it. All right. Now, verse 6. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. A lot of chosen here, isn't there? Chose David, chose Solomon, chose you. He's God. He's God because he foreknew. Amen. He would that all men be saved. He would that every man. He died for every life. He did. He took the sin upon him of all men. Right there. All of it. Okay? And he said, not only that all men be saved, but come to the full knowledge of the truth. He wanted every person ever born to have it all. Not just be saved, but have it all. That's our God. That's how much God loved the world and gave his son for. All right? But in the foreknowledge of God, in God's absolute divine omnipotence and his knowledge of everything from beginning to end and the end of, then he predestinated those. And every life. You think about Pharaoh, amen? Said, Pharaoh's going to, you know what? He's going to be that guy. He's going to harden his heart. He's not going to believe, but he's going to magnify me. That's right. Even the, I'll tell you what, even the evil or the wicked, he's prepared for the day of evil. It's all ordered, saints. Understand that. And who's it ordered for? You. All things are yours. All things are for your sake. I know we look at our lives and we say, that just is not me. Do you live by faith? Thank you, Lord. And I see it for you. I pray you see it for me as well, too. So he says here, moreover, I will establish his kingdom, meaning Solomon, forever. For he, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments at this day. Okay, jump over to verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the palace of the place of the mercy seat. And he goes on and on and on through the next verses, and we'll just jump to verse 19. All this, so he gives him all the pattern of everything. All this, says David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. You should be stunned. I want you to think about all the works of his pattern that he's made known to you. And I thank the Lord we have been filled up with that pattern over the past 24 hours and how fully supplied we are. And just as David had this pattern that was given to him and made known to him and written upon him, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. We've got a better pattern. Oh, yes, we do. We have one that the Lord, praise God, is the one that he has given to us that is being made known to us. I mentioned it just a moment ago. The Spirit reveals those secret things. He reveals those hidden mysteries. Those prophets, they wrote these things for us. And I'm going to tell you something. Something's going to jump out here in 19 today that I believe the Lord is going to just say in your heart, see, I love you. I've really been thinking about you. I want you to understand there's layers in here for you. For you. Not just layers that I put in there that were interesting to find out and search and all of that. But layers of my love letter to you that I want you to receive. And see, only as the Lord can do, I think about how he does this. In one verse in the Bible, he gives you everything. It's just amazing how he does that. And he'll bring it out. His Spirit has to do it. You read something on the surface, and I wrote here, your heart sings. But then the depth of the revelation comes in from the Spirit, and your heart groans. You go from singing to just, oh, Lord, I love you. How you care for me. How I want to be with you. How just amazing you are to my life. And then the layers of inspiration that come, the glories are endless. And as the word of the Lord says, And here we are today. And it's not to flatter ourselves. It isn't. It's just to, again, appreciate and be thankful for the grace of God that's with us. He's gathered us as kings. This is the message for the kings. This is the message for the mature sons of God. This is that ear that has been groomed and has grown up. There's ones that have not been in here very long, but God's learning curve's like this. And they've been in the truth for years, and they've heard the word of God and been thankful for it. But then it was like, oh my, that's always been in there. And that's always been there for me. And here I am, and the moment is now. And I remember, I'm telling you, born and raised in this place. Amen. Thank the Lord. But it wasn't until I was 17. I have an uncle back there. He'll tell you it probably wasn't for him till what, 30, uncle? He's got a precise time. But I want to have a heart that says, Lord, now. Because you want it now. And a heart that says more right now. And Lord, just continue to expand it. Because I know that in my life, I can never flatline. I need more of you all the time, Lord. Abundantly. Exceeding abundantly. Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And I know that he delivers it that way. He does. And he can cause us to believe it. But getting into this, and let's get right back into verse 19, because here's where we're going to focus. All this, said David, all this, everything about that wonderful magnificence of the temple, of all the courts, everything that was so intricate of where the Lord would dwell for the people. That's where he would meet them. That's what this tabernacle was all about. The Holy of Holies, the mercy seat, all of this, all right? So he said, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. David, a shepherd man, just a little shepherd boy. David, a bloody man. He wasn't the engineer. He wasn't any of those kinds of things. But God. But God made him to understand. You think about your life. What has God made you to understand? What pattern now do you know? You know the pattern of the aristocracy of the ages to come that he's written upon you. Here we go now. Now I'm telling you, you got to hold on. As sister said, it's been tested and flown, so just ride along. I love that. I'll never forget it, Sister May. It's got me, I'm telling you. But here in verse 19, and here we begin right here in these layers. Now, that word understand, let's look at it. It says, he made me understand. Isn't that beautiful? He made me. He made me. It kind of sounds like grace made the choice. Grace made me. Grace make you, Bob? Debbie? Nancy? All of us? Yes. He made me to understand. He gives you that, and he's given you that. You say, well, I don't, but wait a second. The word of God says, but you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Don't you think that that would be making you to understand the pattern? Amen. You do know, saints. He's given you the ear to hear. You know this message. You may have not heard it for some time. You may have been kind of sleeping in the pews. But I believe this is tickling every ear and heart right now. I know that message. That is real. That is what has been given to me. I know the much, the more. I know that pattern. I understand it. And today, by the grace of God, that you would know, honey, I wrote that on you. I wrote it on you. Now, here we go. That word understand, it means prosper and have success. So you can say, he made me understand and prosper and have success. If that isn't everything we heard yesterday about understanding everything and the wisdom of the Lord and knowing what we know and the truth that we have and the purity and how God has kept it, and it ended up with, my goodness, we're like the Philadelphia church. We're like the Philippian saints. There was nothing to correct in the word of the Lord. Praise God! I'm so thankful to the Lord. You can believe God, not in believing that you're so great or this was so. He's so faithful. David wasn't faithful. His Lord was faithful. And he got it. And he knew that the Lord was faithful to his life. He knew that the Lord would never fail him. My goodness, you've given me a heart after your own heart, and I've just done the things that I've done, and I still believe that you've given me a heart after your own heart. You are God. You are greater than me. You're greater than my unbelief. You're greater than my failure. You've given this to me. Oh, I love that. See, I thank him for that. He chose, God chose, he made me. Now, to prosper and have success. Now, that's what we're going on. That's what we're believing God for. And you think about David. He chose me for this, and that was a prospering. That was wonderful to see. God provided everything that was going to be built for that. He saw God take Israel so beautifully and faithfully through all of those enemies, all of those different countries and ones that wanted to take them over. God protected them. He said, I'm going to be king forever, meaning Judah, the line of David, our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, forever. Thank you, Lord. But now let's read about our pattern and our he made me to prosper in my understanding and have success. Turn on over to Ephesians 3. Praise the Lord. Oh my. It's just good. But here's our pattern. Here's our wonderful prosper and have success. How much is this? In Ephesians 3, let's read from verse 4. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in the other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. I think you just heard that earlier today. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, that's you, should be fellow heirs. That's joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Sunclaronimus, joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, glorified together with him, and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, I think I just read, he has made you prosper and have success. How much more prospering and have success could you have than to be joint heirs together with Jesus Christ forever? And you have that understanding. And that's what that understanding means. It means to prosper and have success. Now let's go to the next one that we read there. He said, you gave me understanding, and he made me to understand. But then it says, how? In writing by his hand upon me. Now I thank the Lord about the writing of the Lord. But see, are you just reading it, or do you believe that he wrote it upon you? Amen. He wrote it upon you. You understand Paul's gospel? Let me tell you something. You didn't just read it. He wrote it upon you. He wrote it, and he wrote it, and he wrote it. And he wrote it, praise God, in his blood. He wrote it in his love, in his mercy, and his grace. It is upon you. Now, listen to this, because it just keeps getting better. Bigger and better and better and better. This written upon in the, I apologize, I'm having a little bit of a mind blank here right now. In the Hebrew, it means royalty by his portion. Royalty by his portion. Written upon you means royalty by his portion. Now, let's drift on over to hear about royalty by his portion for you. And we could go many places, but probably none better than Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the royalty of his portion forever. This is the royalty of his portion, his portion. And I want you to think about, what is his portion? His portion right now is the right hand of God. And his portion is going to be taking the throne as God. So this is going to be the royalty as his portion. They wrote those things for us. All right, let's read verse 17. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs. See, that's the same word as fellow heirs that we just read over there. Joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. All right? Remember what we were just reading here. Royalty as his portion. It's amazing. So here we go. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the royalty of his portion, which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of all creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God that will have the royalty of his portion. Praise God. And he wrote that upon you. That means it's yours. See, when it's written upon you, it's yours. That means you have it. Thank you, Jesus. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You got the royalty of his portion? Do you? You believe you do? I mean, really, do you believe you do? When he tells you're glorified together with him and to rule and reign jointly together with him. Thank you, Jesus. Saints, you can tell him, thank you, Lord. You can praise his name. Believe him. You do not want to miss believing him for this. You don't. And saints, I'm going to tell you, we do miss that. We'll be those that know that we missed it. You talk about a tear that would have to be wiped from an eye, I'd have the biggest one. Because of the testimony of his grace and his mercy in my life. Because he's told me time and time again, honey, you know. You know this. So I don't go to that side of, oh, if I didn't. I go to the side of his grace will perform it. See, I'm resting now. I'm resting. I'm believing. I'm trusting God. I believe his grace is able. I believe his mercy is that sufficient. I believe his spirit has that power. Now, you almost think, my goodness, the royalty of his portion. I believe I read about the royalty of his portion is that Philadelphia church. And if you read about the Philadelphia church in Revelation, do you know that they're standing with him at a place where the people from, as he said, the synagogue of Satan. I'm going to make them. See, the Lord, he remember how he said, I made you to understand? He's a God that can make a lot of things happen. Amen. Can he? Yes. He says, I'm going to make them come and worship before your feet. What do you think about that? Is that the royalty of his portion? Amen. Making known to all that I have loved thee. The royalty of his portion? The four living ones, praise be to God, in the midst of the throne? That round about the throne are the 24 elders? Oh my goodness, the worthies of faith of the Old Testament? Those that have overcome, the friends of the bridegroom? So thankful, so close to the Lord, but they're going to see that their dear friend Jesus has his glory, his bride. They're going to be so overwhelmed. They're going to take their crowns off and they're going to cast them forth and they're going to say, oh, thou art worthy to receive your glory. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, I thank the Lord. See, praise God, he quickens my heart. Yes. The royalty of his portion. Amen. Not some portion, but of his portion. You think we're done. Man, I'm coming apart. How about you, brother? Amen. Oh, amen. But we got some more. One more here. Come on, one more. Going back. Oh, even so, Lord. Come. So all this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. Now, going right back again to the Hebrew, the works of his pattern, it means the workmanship of his likeness. See, what we're talking about here is the pattern that he gave to David was for this glorious temple. And all the courts and everything where the Lord would dwell. But the pattern of the workmanship of his likeness is the new Jerusalem that's going to be coming down from heaven. She has the glory of God and her light. And he has to take John up to a high mount in heaven, and John's got to look up. I see. And I don't see it from where John's seeing it. I see John looking up at me as I'm coming down. I do, honeys. I do. The workmanship of his likeness. Let's read a little bit about it before. Lord, you're going to take us home. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. Let's read verse 13 together. This is us saints. We're at the most monumental, miraculous time there's ever been. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. I believe we believe together this, don't we? And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, when you're talking about the workmanship of his likeness, I believe we believe this. He's brought us into this, a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Nope. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But God, but speaking the truth in love, and that's what he has so protected for us, may grow up into him the workmanship of his likeness in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The workmanship of his likeness, filled with all the fullness of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you believe him? How many ways does he have to tell you, this is you? How many ways does he have to tell you, I've given this to you? How many ways does he tell us and show us every single time? I wrote this long time ago. I reveal it now. It's coming forth. This is what you have. This is what's yours. But I wrote it in there. It was hidden in them scriptures. Every single thing that he brought out today. Every one of it. It's what it is. It's exactly by the grace of God what he has for you. What he's provided for you. what he saw in ages past, before the foundation of the world, when he saw you in love. This is all to your glory. All to praise God, his fullness. This is the crowning by the grace of God of what we will be for him. And I'll tell you what, there's something going to be written on us. One last thing, the new name. The new name. The new name. I believe it, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm so thankful. And Sister May, I thank God for you, sister, because it truly was. It was prophesied. This is the Philadelphia Company. Praise be to God. He's preserved a bit of it here today. And I thank the Lord, every single one of us, by the grace of God. Let's be as that painting. There ain't nobody left in the pew. Nobody left in the pew today. Really, nobody left in the pew. You're here the first time by the grace of God. Let me tell you something. There was a transformation like you can't believe at that woman at the well. Don't let anybody hold you back. Don't let anybody ever look at you and say, oh, you haven't known it long enough. You don't know it deep enough. Let me tell you, you can know it now, right now, right now, right now. Jesus Christ wants to marry me. And if he is the lover, and if he's the husband, and if he's the groom, and if he's the one, let me tell you something. It's like my sweet brother said, when Ahasuerus went in there to look at the women, when Esther was in that room, how long do you think it took him, brother, to find out that that was her? It took him about 5 seconds. 5 seconds. That's who I want. That's her. My heart's gone. Get her ready. Bring her in. Hallelujah. He had just been waiting for her to come in. Isn't that beautiful? Just waiting for her to make her appearance and tell her how many times, 4 times, 5 times, honey, quit asking so far below the bar. I'm talking too fast because my heart's racing. It's all yours. It's all yours. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, thank you for loving us like you do. Lord, thank you for taking us where you take us, Lord God. And Lord, today again, you take us, you show us, you give us the vision from the midst of the throne of glory. Lord, you have that place for us. Lord, you're waiting at the right hand of your Father, and you're waiting for us, and you're encouraging us. You've sent the Spirit to tell us, this is ours, honey. This is our future. We're about ready to take it. I don't know when Dad's going to tell me to come get you, but I've got you. You just listen for me. I'm waiting for him to tell me, call her home, son. Call her home. And Lord, we have that ear and we're listening for the bridegroom's voice, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And in Jesus' name, all we can do is one unit and one unity of pure faith, God, and by your Spirit. Lord, we hear you and we believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.